everyone. This is Leslie. I'm on Walnut Women, and I am going live today with Jennifer Lim. Okay, so every time this happens. Okay, there you are.
Okay. All right, Jen, you have to accept my invitation to get into the room. Okay.
Hello.
All right, you did it.
My first Instagram live.
Yeah, it's pretty tech savvy, huh? All right. Thanks for joining me tonight. Yesterday at church was Mother's Day. And we also had another family dedication in which many families from our church were a part of that, and your family being one of them. And this was also your third time going through a family dedication. How do you think that went? Or how was your experience going through that?
Going through the dedication,
Yeah.
didn't really think too much about
I
it. Just kind of do it. It was wilder, I feel like. I feel like this is the most kids that were on the stage than I've ever been with.
Yeah, actually that is very true because our church is expanding and our families are growing, and I don't think in the past we had like multiple families with multiple children, but there was a good number of kids up there. So it was very affirming that we are growing as a church. And what was also wonderful was that PT or Pastor Terrence affirmed that this is a good thing. I enjoyed Jonathan's introduction and little blurb about your family. And what I found interesting was that he gave context to Bella, your third child's birth, and that you had gone through two miscarriages before having her. And that made me think about how you were on the Walnut Women podcast like several years ago to talk about your miscarriage journeys, and I feel like that's a very private topic usually. And whenever someone like brings that up, I do think like people really like listen in. One, I don't know if you know this, but that podcast episode is actually like our most viewed episode on Walnut Women. So it tells me that, people want to know what people are thinking who have gone through that. So yeah, I guess he said two miscarriages made you guys go into a place of hopelessness, and how God was able to restore that by giving you hope and then blessed you with Bella. So I mean, do you have any, I don't know, personal thoughts to share about this? I'm just pushing it because John mentioned it.
Well, do I have any thoughts? I think initially, actually, well, he's always the one that writes the blurbs.
Yes.
And I don't know whether he mentioned it the last time because we've gone through like miscarriages in between like every kid. So, I mean, it's basically happened between like every dedication we've gone through. And I don't remember whether he mentioned it last time, but I just feel like every time he mentions it to me, like, oh, is it okay if I talk about this? My initial thought is like, oh, like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I feel like, but I do also feel like, at the end of the day, it's like a part of our journey that it's like, if I know that there are things that I'm glad other people share about, even though I know it's really hard to talk about, but just to know that like someone else went through it, or just like, yeah, just appreciate the stuff that people don't really talk about, when someone mentions it and talks about it, it's like something I really appreciate. So,
Yeah. You know, what makes it hard is that you can only talk about something that you've like processed, you know, and then that's like an experience. It takes like sometimes years to process, right? It's like loss and grieving. And it's hard to have words to describe your feelings. It's like very vulnerable. And most people don't want to talk about things in process. They want to talk about it after they've like recovered and after they are moved forward, you know? So I do appreciate, I think those, that gives people who have gone through that experience, like maybe hope that they're not the only ones, and also just that they're not alone and it does happen.
Yeah.
And that if you can find hope in it, maybe that will give someone else going through it hope for their journey. So I appreciate that you guys are able to be open like that and see where God takes it.
Yeah.
So I had sent you a couple of things, but first of all, I think I want to go to something that we talked about yesterday. Because I saw you, you're always like carrying that baby carrier around your waist. So that's like a normal look on you. But the addition that I saw yesterday that I had asked you about was like your water bottle bag, your lavender water bottle bag. So I guess my question is, what kind of bags do you have as a mom? Because I feel like moms kind of become like a bag lady and they hold bags for all types of things. So I guess my question for you is like, what's your survival bag and like, why do you use it?
Survival bag.
Yeah. What's the bag you always have to take with you?
I don't feel like there's one I like always. I think it really depends on the situation. I think more recently, I see Jen Lowe put CalPak down there. CalPak is the water bottle, or the company that like got the water bottle holder really popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually my sister was the one that introduced me to it, and then like just I see so many people with the CalPak water bottle holder now.
I see.
But my current one is not a CalPak, but just a water bottle holder with pockets that are big enough to like carry your phone, your wallet. But that's not, because I have kids, it's not the only bag that I carry.
Right, of course. Yeah,
so it really depends on the situation. I feel like I have to have a water bottle bag, one kind of maybe some type of fanny pack-ish. And, you know, you got your baby backpack if you have a baby. If you don't have a baby anymore, then you got to have some kind of like light bag to put like maybe your other kids like water bottles or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's just always changing. Mm-hmm. Like depending on life stages.
Exactly.
And stuff. 'Cause eventually,
that's what I said.
I want them to carry their own stuff. So.
Right.
But sometimes they get tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Bag lady. That's what moms do. Okay. So let's talk about the really daunting task of house management and managing, raising children that like our jobs, right? Women are called to be homemakers, manage the work in the home and the children, which includes food, it includes chores, it includes schedules and appointments. And for you this year, like you're formally starting homeschool with kindergarten. So then that education gets into part of that responsibility. So how do you feel about managing all those things? It takes like skills, it takes like learning. If you didn't learn how to do some of those things earlier on, what are some struggles or things that you need help with?
Well, Oh, I don't know. Being
I
a
know,
home
sorry.
manager.
Oh,
I wasn't actually a very good multitasker to begin with. Or I mean, I thought I was,
yeah.
but I think maybe because now there's so many distractions. Like as
Yes.
soon as you maybe get on your phone, like it just takes you away from all the things that are, needing to get done in the house. And that's if you spend an hour on your phone, that's 1 hour you could have done doing laundry. It's 1 hour you could have prepared food or like whatever plan for the next day. And I think there's just like so many things that have to happen at the same time, like when you're if you want to be efficient in like with your home stuff, that I mean, you don't have to at the end of the day, like that. Well, I guess that was another thing I was gonna say is being a home manager, one of the things I've learned is that sometimes it's okay to like not get everything done and just be okay with like the limitations of time, what you can do in 1 day, what with all the spontaneous things that happens with the kids, you just have to be okay that you don't get everything done. But I don't know, other things like delegating, like as your kids get older, learning how to like be kind of like a manager to your little employees, like teaching them little by little, like as they're getting older, what kind of tasks are to their what are age appropriate that you can start delegating to them. But then like also being okay if they can't handle it all either, then you have to kind of pick up the slack kind of thing. I don't want to get
And
into a little business here.
like when you talk about like delegating tasks to your kids, you're talking about the process of training them, right? Like you're trying to teach them little independent things they can do around the house, personal responsibility, or maybe some of that can translate into chores that for the whole house eventually, I think.
Eventually. Yeah. Not expecting them to do like everything,
So
but
there's like teaching involved, there's like you managing it, but then it always falls back on you if they can't do it perfectly. Or you have to let go of like the expectation it has to be done a certain way.
Yeah, there's managing those expectations. Are they realistic for your 3-year-old child versus your 5-year-old child,
But you know that process of teaching kids skills in the home, I do think that it will pay off, and it's such a great investment because those are skills that are like building blocks for later on, because they're like turning on things like their independence or their ability to learn and mess up, and then mom is gonna be okay with it at the end, right? Like you're the mom, and no matter how they perform, you're gonna still accept them and love them. And I think that's such a valuable process in how we learn, because hopefully, I'm pretty sure you're not like that drill sergeant that's gonna make them feel like they have to be perfect. You know, like there's room for spills or there's room for errors. And I think that's a nice way for kids to learn in that kind of setting. I think you can learn so, kids can learn so much in the home, and then that translates like outside of the home.
That is if you are very patient with them.
Oh,
I think sometimes it can be hard to
but you don't even have to start off being a patient person, but if you're committed to the task, I think God can grow our patience. Or we'll, or we and our kids will have a really tense relationship, you know?
Yes, that does happen sometimes. Sometimes I do have like certain expectations for them, and then I realize, like looking back, like, oh man, like that was too much for them, and I really shouldn't have expected so much,
Yeah.
you know, or I put a little bit too much pressure, whatever, on them to get it right. Maybe with like cleaning or something, putting away toys, something as simple as that, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, so on the topic of expectations, when you realize that maybe you're what you set out to do, you know, when you set something out to do, you'll like have an expectation kind of with the results. If the kids don't meet that expectation, like how do you manage like that? How do you manage like maybe your reaction to that? If you ever get angry or if you're actually okay, like, do you feel like it's either anger or being gracious, right?
Yes, yeah. Not sure if there's any other reaction.
Impatience, maybe? I don't know.
I guess it's kind of like, it's like almost to anger, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what are,
what was your question?
Some things that, what are some things that you think that you find are missed expectations in the house? Because
missed
of
expectations.
Sorry, that's a hard question. Like, for example, like, if I want to get out of the house and be punctual, but that doesn't happen all the time. We're not always punctual. So then that's the place where I get, where I can struggle, because I have high expectations to be punctual. So I guess, what are some of your expectations that you have that, like, can't be met because you have like young kids with you?
Well, for sure, getting to places on time is really difficult. Usually if we're not on time though, I feel like it's usually my fault for not getting up early enough to wake them up and all that stuff. I'm more understanding of the whole getting up early and getting on time, because I have a really hard time personally with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's like other expectations that, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, I think, like, I'm not sure if this is answering your question, but one of the things that like I expect more is like, and I have a really hard time with, is like with Joshua, our middle child, our 3 year old. I mean, he's only 3 years old, but, and this is like another whole topic too about like comparing your children as well, but I just felt like with my older child, I didn't have as much of an issue with like, if I tell you to do something, you know, she usually would like listen, or maybe she feared more the consequences of like not listening. But yeah, like with Joshua, it's just, you tell him once and then you have to tell them again and again and again and again, and to me it's like, oh, I've already told you so many times, like you just gotta listen, you know?
Right,
like there's that expectation that if I tell you, you just do it, you know, or you do it right away, you do it without complaining, whatever. I mean, if it were another child, I'd be like, oh, it's totally normal. But then with your own child, you're like, I told you so many times. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
yes. Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that example up, because I think as parents, we definitely Allison's consistency is key. I think that we want to feel like we're not the only one, because it feels like a problem, and then it could turn into a burden, like, oh, why is my child not doing something that we expect? And listening translates to like developing that heart of obedience, right? Like, we want our kids to listen to our voice and obey the first time, not the third time. And yeah, it is a training to teach them, and hopefully that's their choice if they want to listen or not. And later on, it'll be harder if they don't learn to listen the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. I'm going to close with this thing that I observe is a very difficult thing, not just for moms, but for people in general, which is how to identify that you need help and how do you ask for help? Or should you ask for help? Or do you even know how to ask for help? So I don't know. Where are you at on that?
Asking for help. You know, I feel like when I first became a mom, like it was hard to ask for help because I felt like growing up, I just had this very independent mindset. I'm not sure whether that was like something we grew up with in our culture. I'm not sure. I feel like it is kind of more Western culture kind of thing where you're trying to become independent of your parents,
right,
and all that stuff. So I feel like becoming a mom, like even though, you know, you're really tired and yeah, just like the idea of asking for help is something very humbling, I guess. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why it's hard. But I feel like as it's gotten even more tiring with more kids, then you receive that help and you realize like, why didn't I ask for help earlier? Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know. And I think I've learned like as I've talked more with, especially like maybe like our Mandarin speaking brothers and sisters or people that like grew up from China, things like that, like the community is so like you wouldn't even question like parents living together, mm-hmm. or things like that, or just like your aunties and uncles, you know, just being right there to help out in whatever situation. I think realizing that like maybe the way that the kind of mindset we grew up with is like maybe that's not always the right way. And yeah, just questioning what is the right way, maybe what is the biblical way, you know, what is this community that God has given us if we don't use the community or rely on one another, our brothers and sisters, yeah. our family.
Yeah.
You know, we're not meant to live this life alone, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's like God's gift to us is the people around us and we're meant to live in community. And so are our children as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think like once we start feeling the burden of just raising children and that really big responsibility, we realize how important our community is. And I think like we can say it does definitely take a village to raise our kids. And I agree that sometimes we, in our culture, I think what we prize ourselves in is like independence and also this sense of like we have to prove ourselves, you know, like you're trying to tell yourself I can do this and I want to exhaust my resources before I turn to outside resources. But I think actually you're pretty good at taking help when help comes, I think.
Yeah, I'm like just bring them all.
Yeah,
just bring them
you all. You know what? Like a very practical help is that you accept. I think is when people hold out their arms to say, "Give me your baby." Like, if you can let someone hold your baby, that's like a form of help. So then, like in that time when you're with people, you don't have to hold the baby.
Yeah. Also, the way that I think of it is that like if people are helping you, like it also helps you to be more willing to help other people. Like if someone's holding my baby, I can hold someone else's baby or you know, whatever, like, or help someone else's kid that's struggling over there with spilling their drink on the ground or whatever.
You realize how important your hands are.
And sometimes it's just like nice when you're helping someone else's child than your own child. And it's just
true.
Different.
Yeah, it is very true.
You're much more sharing gracious resources with another child.
All right. Well, I guess our time is up, and thanks for joining me and talking about your motherhood journey on this podcast or Instagram Live. And I appreciate the time, and I appreciate your sharing. And it'll be great to have you back again one day.
Thanks for having
me. Have a good evening.
You
I'm going to turn this off now. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.